Please join me in a spirit of prayer. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, that was a cheery lesson. Thank you, Chris. What's going on here? Why is Jesus calling Peter, his right-hand man, the person upon whom he is going to lay responsibility for founding the church, Satan? What's going on? Well, if you remember your Hebrew Bible, you remember that Satan makes an appearance in the book of Job. And if we study the language, we realize that Satan is not a term for Lucifer. It's not meant to indicate some red-skinned, horned devil. But Satan means advocate. And so Jesus is calling out Peter for advocating something that runs contrary to what Jesus is teaching. Jesus has to share some hard news. He talks about his passion. He talks about the encounter he's going to have with religious authorities. And Peter would prefer to ignore that. How can you talk about these bad things that are going to happen to you? Can imagine, connect the dots, that Peter is thinking, are you suggesting that those bad things will happen to me too? Well, there's a possibility. And we know from history that these bad things did happen to Peter. But I'm going to ask each of us to think about what it means to take up our crosses. Now, the cross that was used back in Roman times was a tool of execution. When you think of a cross now, you think of a nice piece of furniture on the altar here. You might think of a cross that you wear around your neck. But that's not what the cross is. It is a tool of execution. And Jesus was told by the Romans, as were many other prisoners, that they needed to carry the means of their execution off to the execution site. So Jesus couldn't carry anything else. His shoulders needed to be free and clear. His back needed to be unobstructed. So what are you willing to give up to carry your cross? Now, I know you're all saying here, what on earth is Steve talking about? I am not asking you to martyr yourselves. I am not asking you to risk harm from the authorities. But, you may be asked to do that someday. So there's been a lot of news recently about Alexei Navalny. And I'm not going to claim that Navalny was a Christ figure. But he was a brave man. And he knew what he was doing. So Vladimir Putin tried to kill him by drugging him on an airplane flight a couple of years ago. And Navalny was brought over to Germany to receive treatment. And he recovered. And he insisted on returning to Moscow. His family was really uncomfortable with this. And if you haven't seen the documentary called Navalny, it's really worth watching. You're going to wonder, why can't we have more people like that in this world? But I will tell you that he knew he was carrying a cross, and he knew that he might well have to pay the ultimate price. And Alexei Navalny did that because he believed in a better future for Russia. We don't live in Russia. We don't have to deal with those people. Well, I'll tell you a story from our own history. Some of you may be familiar with the four chaplains. Anybody remember them? Good. Thank you, Betsy. So the four chaplains served in the U.S. Army during World War II. And they were on a troop transport that was heading to Europe. And then the Nazi U-boats came along and sank the transport off the waters of Greenland. And the chaplains, rather than rushing off to take care of themselves and save themselves, focused on their fellow soldiers. And they helped them get into lifeboats. And they helped them get life jackets. And they gave up their own life jackets. And people remembered seeing them go down with the ship. That was a moment when four men felt called to bear a cross. Now, one was George Fox, a Methodist. One was John Washington, a Roman Catholic priest. One was Clark Poling, a Dutch Reformed minister. And one was Alexander Good, a rabbi. So you don't have to be Christian to take up your cross. You just have to be a good person. Now, I'm not saying there isn't value in believing in Jesus and following Jesus' way. But I am saying that we are all called, each and every one of us, to do the right thing. Now, you may wonder what this has to do with the sermon title. So we talked about Peter being an advocate for his own desires, for his own vision of what the future should be. Have you ever called anybody a name? Ever? A nickname? Lovingly? Or do you just think that when I call someone a name, it's going to be rude and a put down? And we've seen a lot of that recently. It would be nice for it to stop. But there is a deep human belief that there is power in naming things. Think about that. Is there anybody here who'd want to be called ugly or stupid or fat or smelly or obnoxious? I don't think so. And I can't imagine anybody here calling anybody else those names. But let's look back to Genesis, where God comes along and decides to give Abram and Sarai new names. Now, I will confess that these were not the most creative names that could have been developed. Abraham and Sarah don't sound that much different from Abram and Sarai. But still, there was power in what God did. God was claiming them. They were no longer free agents just living out in the world on their own, doing their own things. They were claimed by God. And yes, we know that Abraham and Sarah became the forebears of a nation. And a nation with a long and storied, and unfortunately, often troubled history. But God never promised them that everything was going to be all sweetness and light. Now we know that some of the troubles that the Jewish people have encountered over the years are the result of some bad decisions they made. And that seems to be what a good portion of the Hebrew Bible is about. They're rebelling against God and suffering the consequences. Now, I'm not saying that God decided to punish the people. But if your government acts in a corrupt way, there are going to be consequences. People are going to lose confidence in us. If your officials lie and cheat and steal, what does that tell the population? It's okay to lie and cheat and steal yourselves. So let's think about what we call people, why it matters. What would we like to be called? Are we comfortable with being called disciples of Jesus Christ? Now that's a pretty, pretty heavy label. Now, I'll be the first one to confess that I am often not the best disciple of Jesus. I'm not going off and worshiping some other deity. I'm not worshiping my bank account. But there are times I might get sharp and testy and not be operating at my best. But God still calls on me. And I remember the story of Peter, who is called Satan, a term we've redefined. But Peter was called to be the rock upon which Jesus would build his church. And remember that Peter was not his original name. It was Simon. And Peter was a nickname that essentially translates to Rocky, because Peter was the rock upon which the church would be built. That church has been around for a long time. And sometimes it's solid, and sometimes it looks a bit rocky in a different way. But this is Lent, when we're called to reflect and to repent, to look deep into our hearts and ask ourselves tough questions. Yesterday, I went to prepare to serve the conference-wide volunteer program. And the theme of the program was for Matthew, and it was called Turning the Tables. And they're trying to be clever, referencing the passage from the gospel in which Jesus is really hot and bothered and ripped and goes into the temple courtyard and overturns the tables of the money changers. Jesus wasn't worrying about his reputation when he did that. Now, I can imagine just what the temple authorities called him at that point. Troublemaker, disruptor, some bad language. But I'm sure that the common people had other names for Jesus, which would have been nicer. And they were happy to see someone stand up for what was right. So I don't know that we should be worrying too much about what other people are calling us. But we should worry a little bit. I would hope that we are all spoken of by people in the community, in our lives, as good people. As people who work hard for others. As people who serve others. I can tell Laurel that one of the most abused phrases in our lexicon as a country is public servant. You can just see it, public servant. But not all public servants are crooks. And some of them work hard for us. And I thank them. That's true for Christians too. We're not all on the make. We are not all looking to tell other people what they should and shouldn't do. If you want to be that kind of Christian, you can go to another congregation. You're not really fitting into this community. But, I'm going to come back to that question about the cross. What kind of cross are you willing to bear? What kind of cross am I willing to bear? I've talked about the disciplines of Lent and how we give up something, but we can also take on more. And a Lenten discipline does not have to be some elaborate, complicated, horrible thing that you endure. I'm not telling you to give up your chocolate or your coffee. But I will ask you to think about what kind of sacrifices you can make for Jesus and for Jesus' people. So I talked about the bags before. And again, I hope you're all going to take your bags home and fill them up. This is really important. I'm sure that most of us, if not all of us, can always use more. And some of us more than others. But believe it or not, there is somebody else out there who is worse off than you are. There is somebody else out there who needs our help. And if you're in this community, I would ask you to think about how you can help those folks. I'm not just saying that you need to hand them money. But how can you show that you care? And sometimes you can do it without planning to. So this morning I had the good fortune of crossing paths with Robert on the way to church. And he was walking his dog. He's a big, beautiful yellow lab. And many of you may remember that I used to have a yellow lab. And Henley was with us for 15 years. And then he passed away. It was great to see Robert with his dog this morning. It was great to see the love and the happiness. That's a way that you can help others. I'm sure you weren't thinking of it this morning, although maybe you were because it was 7 degrees out, but you were bearing a cross. Walking the dog in the community is a way of spreading some happiness. And I'll thank the choir members for their singing. It really, really makes my day when you all sing. You're good. And I talked with some people at this conference, one of whom had been looking at churches and had checked in our church at one point, and he wound up elsewhere, but he was really impressed with the music program. So thank you, Ernie, and again, thank you, choir. You bring a lot of joy to your singing. And thanks to each and every one of you out there. Your presence, whether you're here for the first time or you're here for the 400th time, makes a difference. I remember when we had more people in church, but then we got COVID. But we're still here, aren't we? This community still endures. And each person here, I believe, is a disciple of Jesus. I don't have a card for you. There is no secret bathroom for you to use. No pool. No flight benefits. But it's something you can carry with you in your heart. And whether you want to think about yourself as a Republican or a Democrat or independent, or me forlorn, I hope you'll also think of yourself as a Christian. That is a label that should define you through your life, through the end. So again, ask yourself the questions about what cross you're willing to bear and the names we use to describe ourselves. Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gifts of names. We thank you for those people we can help. And we thank you, ironically, for the burden of the cross that we may bear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.